We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 23rd day, Monday of October. And this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight we have, well, of course, the guy, man, very, very competent. What the guy on the dials with a smile, none other than Derek.
Howdy.
Derek, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Well, howdy, Derek. It's good to have you there tonight.
Why, thank you.
Because while you're there, that means you're not somewhere else.
Exactly. I could be in like a seedy estate.
Yeah, all righty. Listen, we got someone with us that's much, much prettier than you and me. And it's not even on Wednesday. It's a Monday. We have a Monday Wendy. Hey, Wendy.
Hey, Pastor. I can barely hear you.
Yeah, I wonder what's going on there. Let me look and see what I got on my end here. Is that helping?
No.
Okay. Is that helping any?
Well, you just seem far away.
I am, Wendy. I'm here in Ohio.
But, well, do you want me to call back in?
No, let me go ahead. We're working out on his end, and I'm working on my end over here in the studio. But, I mean, you're loud and clear here. I can hear you loud and clear. Let me see if I can dial this. Okay. All right. Well, just I'll speak up. Okay. Let's start tonight. The title of the message was called The Unholy Confederacy and Violent Attack on America. And, Wendy, you know, what you're seeing happening right now in the Gaza and with the war between Israel and Hamas, this has happened before over and over and over again. And, you know, people don't realize how history repeats itself. And we see each time that this takes place, it comes closer to the final fulfillment, the final fulfillment. And so let's start in Obadiah, the book of Obadiah. And, well, it's only got one chapter to it, so we'll just we'll stay with that one chapter, chapter one. In fact, Obadiah is the shortest book in the Old Testament. Now, there's really no date of the writing, but most Bible scholars, Wendy, believe that this was the first of the old Testament prophetical books. So now...
Well, who wrote it? Obadiah?
Yeah, Obadiah. Okay. And he was a contemporary of Hosea. Hosea. Okay. And anyhow, so the main theme of the book is the announcement of the coming judgment on Edom. And so here, you know who Edom was. Edom was from the Edomites. And they were the descendants of, well, Esau. And so let's start in verse 1. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is set among the heathen. Arise you, and let us rise up against her in battle. Now, the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, were very closely related to the descendants of Jacob, okay? And so, but here, a lot of your liberal Bible, I don't want to call them scholars, actually, commentators, I should say commentators, believe that Esau got the short end of a stick, that he was really just an innocent victim of Jacob's cupidity. I said cupidity, not stupidity, okay? What do you think? What do you think? Because, see, Jacob listened to his mother, and he went and he deceived his father.
Right.
And therefore, they say, because of that really, in today, the Arab nations today, say to that very effect, just like they said with Isaac and Ishmael, that Isaac cheated Ishmael. Ishmael was cheated out of the inheritance, and that he really, that the land should go to him and God's blessings. And now here they're saying that, well, Esau got cheated too. Therefore, he should have really been the inheritance. He should have gotten the inheritance and been the head of the 12 tribes. What do you think?
Well, this is an interesting question. I mean, you know, I have often wondered, you know, why God would bless that behavior, you know, if they weren't the firstborn, but they kind of, like you said, manipulated and cheated the situation. Why would God bless that?
Well, because, see, sometimes God allows things to happen, and the Bible says he'll weaken it, okay? Now, it had been preordained. God had decided that it was going to be Jacob. He had already said that. And so that Jacob, remember, he earlier had said that, prophesied that the younger of the two, the one that was holding on to his brother's heel, would be the inheritant. And remember, he also said, if you read Jacob I've loved, but Esau I hated, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He says that twice here in Scripture. So God had made the decision that it was going to be Jacob. And sometimes, you know, you wonder why they use means like that. But sometimes God allows things for his own purposes that to us, we don't understand. But then he tells us his ways are above our ways.
Right.
And so we just got to trust if he does it, it's the right thing, right?
Right.
And so he goes on and he says, when he said here, the vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen, arise you and let us rise up against her to battle. So what is he saying? He's saying here that now the Edomites are joining... They're joining in a confederacy with the heathen nations against Judah, okay? And so against Jacob's brother, or against Esau's brother, Jacob. And so here, but you know, this is their descendants. By this time, these two are no longer alive. They're gone. Behold, I have made thee as small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. So he's telling them that the Edomites are looked down upon. Why do you think they'd be looked down upon? Because they had a reputation. It wasn't a very good reputation. What do you... Do you know what their reputation was? Being kind of like Hamas. Like, you know how Hamas is doing these horrible things, what they're doing? Well, you know, if you go back over in the Chronicles, Second Chronicles, you see the King Ahaz had sinned mightily against God. You know, even after God's warnings, he had sinned again against God. So God delivered him into the hands of the Assyrians. And the Assyrians came in, and after Judah had been defeated pretty badly, pretty beat up, okay, left bloodied, then came the Edomites like a pack of jackals. And they had a tendency, they had a history of, you know, following the people and picking off the weak and those that couldn't keep up. They reminded you kind of like of jackals or hyenas. And so here after that, they came and they took all the pillage and they took captives, those that survived out of Israel. And so he goes on to say, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the cliffs of the rock, where habitation is high. Thus saith the heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Well, do you know what he's talking about there? Edom's, their main city of Edom was a famous called the Rock City. Or another word for it, had two other names, Selah or Petra. You've heard of Petra.
Right.
Petra's got quite a future yet coming during that tribulation period, at the end of the tribulation period. That's where the remnant of Israel is going to go to, right at the end of that.
A question about that. Petra is quite a ways from Jerusalem. How are they to get there?
God's going to split the Mount of Olives right to the north and to the south, just like he did the Red Sea. He's going to split it, and he's going to take them right through there. Okay, if you...
Does that mean they're going to walk on foot to Petra?
They don't have to do that. God does. God's got the best, like, Uber business in the world, okay?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
See, when it comes to transportation, God's got it covered. In fact, if you read in Revelation 19, starting with verse 11, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and all of his army in heaven, which consists of four categories of the saints, which we would be one of them, are about to leave heaven, the third heaven, and head towards earth, back to earth. And now that's a few miles. That's a few miles.
Oh, but, yeah, I think it's a little bit of a hike,
Yeah, so what happens, though, we don't do it because we're riding in horses.
Right.
We don't do it by mileage. We do it by dimensions. A door will open.
I know, a different dimension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish I had some different dimensions. So, but I don't. But anyhow, so I wish, you know, where Joe's at. Joe's not with us tonight because Joe's on vacation. And I had a vacation once. I don't remember much of it. It's been so long ago. But maybe someday I'll get another one. If not, when I leave this world, I'll have one for eternity, huh?
Oh, yeah, you'll have a very nice existence there.
All righty. And so let's go over to verse number 4. Well, no, he says, so thou dwellest in the cliffs of the rock where inhabitants is high. So what they're saying, the Edomites are saying, look, who's can touch us? Who can touch us? Our city's way up here. We're almost impenetrable. We have this... Now, there was another fellow who, Ethbaal, who, the second, who made the same statement. You know, who in the world can reach me up here? I'm a god. I'm a god. Nobody can reach me up here in my fortress. Well, God said, boy, have you got a rude awakening. God says, you're not a god at all. He told Ethbaal. He says, when I send those men from the Babylonians to kill you, you tell them that you're a god and see if they...
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, they didn't buy it. So he goes, he says, though thou exaltest thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves come to thee, if robbers by night, how are they cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they have not leave into some grapes? How were the things of Esau stretched out? How were his hidden things sought up? And the men of the confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. And see, he's letting them know things are not going to go the way you want them to. I'm going to change all that around. And just like you cannot be trusted, to see what you've done, you cannot be trusted. And your so-called allies, they're going to turn on you too. And so what happened here, it's just like, I'll keep going. I'll explain to you when we get there. And the men of the Confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They eat the bread, have it laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and the understanding out of the mount of Esau? And the mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end, that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Well, so the Edomites have been decimated on several occasions, but not completely decimated. There's always been some left, and of course how fast the Arabs and the Muslims repopulate, and so they repopulate at a pretty rapid rate. And then he says, "For the violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee." And that means he's talking about the violence that Esau did himself, and then what his descendants are continuing to do against the descendants of Jacob. And you know what? We're seeing that right now. It's happening even as we're talking. Mm-hmm. They're fighting right now.
Yeah.
And so now there's a number of the descendants as we went in there. If you listen to last week's message, you'll notice how we put what Hamas is made up about, and the Palestinians and all of those people, what they're made up of, the groups of those people that are fighting, are all mentioned. They're all mentioned. In fact, they're mentioned in the 83rd Psalm. But anyhow, for thy violence against thy brother, Jacob's shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces and foreigners, and entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. Okay. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, and the day thou became a stranger, neither should thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither should thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Now here's the big part. Thou should not have entered into the gate of my people on the day of their calamity. Thou shouldest not have looked in their affliction on the day of their calamity and laid hands on the substance in their day. And thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither should thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. So here's what he's talking about. King Zedekiah, Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 21, he's telling King Zedekiah, hey, you know what? The Babylonians and the Chaldeans are coming here. You need to repent now. You need to repent for your sins. You have sinned mightily. All of Israel, all of these princes. Now, the princes are the equivalent of our state legislators today. They would be like our state senators. And so, and he's telling them, Jeremiah, you better repent. You better get it done now, right now. And the princess said, "What? You know who we are? We are God's chosen people. And there will never be an army come through the gates of Jerusalem. And we don't want to hear you telling us that we're sinning. We don't want to hear that. What we want to hear is you tell us, like the prosperity preachers today. Oh, we want to hear what God is going to do for us. We don't want to hear anything about this repentance stuff. Remember Hosea?" And so they took Jeremiah and they threw him into a well.
Yeah.
And the well was a dry well, but it had mud. And the mud was up to his neck. And so remember what happened. Old King Zedekiah's thinking, well, you know, Jeremiah is a prophet of God. And God is not going to think very highly of what we've done here. I better get him out of there. So he sent 30 men to pull him out, okay? And Jeremiah had warned Zedekiah. So guess who showed up? Come through the gates of Jerusalem, both the Babylonians and the Chaldeans. And guess what they did? They took Zedekiah's sons and killed him in front of him, so he had to watch that. And when he was finished, they put his eyes out. And that's not a good ending, is it?
No.
But do you know how they caught him? You see, God had given, there was a way of escape that had been opened up to Zedekiah and his sons. They had prepared a way to leave the country. But guess who blocked their way and turned them over to the Babylonians and Chaldeans? It was the Edomites that did that. That's what he's saying. Neither should thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those that did escape. Neither should thou have delivered up those of his hand that remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near, has come upon all the heathen. Hey, Wendy, you know what? I'm going to stop here and kind of pick it up. Maybe finish this off here tomorrow. Oh, okay. But the day of the Lord, this is the first time that day that is said. That saying, in fact, it was Obadiah that said it for the first time. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, as thou hast done, shall be done unto thee. By reward shall return upon thine own head. For we have drunk upon the holy mountain, so shall the heathen drink continually. They shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. So do you know what he's saying here, Wendy? He's saying that the children of Esau, as well as those of Ishmael and Lot, Wendy, and others, have thus far kept the house of Jacob from obtaining their divine inheritance that God had promised.
Mm-hmm.
And he promised it to Abraham, he promised it to Jacob, he promised it to Jacob. And one other, who do you think he promised that to? That one other was King David.
Right.
So what's going to happen? Eventually, and it'll happen, what, during the millennial kingdom, huh?
Right.
However, God's word will be vindicated. Israel will possess their possessions in the coming age of Christ's kingdom, for sure. And so he says this, that the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Jacob a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle them and devour them, and there shall not be any remnant of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. So they will be utterly and completely and totally destroyed by the end of the tribulation period. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and all. By the way, they will be totally gone too. And the Philistines possess the field of Ephraim and the field of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of his host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even the Zarephites, even the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Wait a minute. Saviors shall come up. Jeez, Wendy, how many saviors are there?
Well, I mean, if the saints are going to rule with the Lord, I guess maybe that's what they're talking about.
That's exactly what they're talking about. Exactly. You're a smart lady. You are. We'll be right back after this.
We're fed up with the Green New Deal and the socialists who created it. We're fed up with the attacks on our fossil fuel and energy industries. We're fed up with an open border. We're fed up with human trafficking. We're fed up with fentanyl flooding our country. And we're fed up with illegal immigration. We're fed up with critical race theory. We're fed up with boys competing in girls' sports. We're fed up with... We're fed up with the liberal media, Twitter, Facebook, Google, and YouTube for blocking conservative speech. We're fed up with our government and universities censoring conservative thought, canceling debate, and rewriting history. We're fed up with the corruption in the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, the CIA, the NSA, and the FISA Court. We're fed up with mask mandates, vaccine mandates. The CDC, the NIH, the WHO, and the misinformation campaign surrounding COVID-19. And we're fed up with Anthony Fauci. We're fed up with the politicians and the elitists in D.C. who are getting rich while the middle class falls further behind every year. We're fed up with Joe Biden, with Nancy Pelosi. We're fed up with the January 6th Commission and those people who think that they can gaslight us. And we're fed up with Liz Cheney. Of November 8th, we're taking our country back.
All righty, I am fed up too. Are you fed up, Wendy?
Yeah, I kind of like that message. That was cool.
Yeah, and the reason I played that, I played that several times because we got such a people like you. They like it. That's exactly how they feel. So. We've played it over and over, and it's going to be a regular part, you know, of the programs from now on. We're going to put it in every now and then. I am fed up with a whole lot of things, and one of them is that I received something in the mail, and it's a flyer, and it's got this woman's picture on the front of it, a blonde-headed woman. And it says on the front of this flyer, as a pediatrician, it's my job to protect children. Now, so that you must vote one on issue one. So do you know how her idea, and by the way, this woman's name is Bean. She's a parent. It's B-E-E-N-E, and a pediatrician here in Ohio. Now, do you know what her definition of protecting children is? Is abortion. How is killing a child protecting a child, Wendy?
Oh, it's not.
And so, I mean, is this, look, what does the word reprobate mean?
Well, it means somebody that has difficulty with right and wrong. They have difficulty reasoning that, and they seem to delight in wickedness.
The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked. How often?
Every day.
Every single day he is angry with Dr. Bean here.
Mm-hmm.
And now Dr. Bean, she's going to be in for an extremely rude awakening, a very rude awakening. And here in the back it says, look, everything about this whole thing is a lie. First of all, on this thing they send out, They said to our friends at the address of the people they're sending it to. Believe me, we are not her friends. I am not her friends. We have different fathers. Mrs. Bean's father is Satan himself, okay? And here it says, Ohio's extreme ban prevents Ohioans from getting an abortion within the unthinkable happens. That's a lie. That's a lie told by liars. Now, this whole thing, Wendy, here, do you know what the world's largest purveyor of human trafficking is?
Not what?
The United States government. The United States government is the world's highest purveyor of human trafficking. We're behind more of it. Here in Ohio, it's very high. The very same people that are being funded, this money, this dark, bloody, bloody money coming in, comes in for the human trafficking. I played a clip, and I probably should go back and find it and play it again, but it's a very brutal, brutal clip. It's what they're doing with these children, how evil, and I mean just how utterly wicked these people can be. And this here in Ohio, this issue one is becoming a real battle. I mean, Democrats steal. They put the signs out. I heard some of our men saying, you know what, let's go take theirs. And I said, no, you don't want to reduce yourself to their level. If we start doing the things that the Democrats do, then we'll be no different than them, right? And so, they steal signs, they steal elections, and they steal the lives of innocent children. That's what Democrats do. And they're the ones that's behind this thing. And the very same people that are bringing in the fentanyl, killing people with the fentanyl, stealing children, molesting children, they're the same people behind this issue one. The very same people. And so, folks out there, what I'm telling you this, you've got to be really, really wicked and evil and to vote yes on issue one. You really have to be wicked and evil to do that. This is the so-called amendment to our Constitution to open it up, to take away all parents' rights, to increase abortion, to let everything go, let it all hang out, as they say. This is evil. It's right from the pit of hell. And so this is why I'm telling you this here. We're in for a battle here. And I'm telling you, the people on the pro-life side are like that, what we just heard, they're fed up. We're really fed up. We're getting more and more fed up with these people every day. And so, anyhow, that's where I want to start out. Now, here's some good news here in Ohio, Wendy. We have 171 clergymen encouraged Ohioans to protect children and vote no on the deceptive issue one. And so, we're going to get more into just how deceptive it is. North Central Ohio, Ohioans will decide. Well, it just says this November 7th. Let's see. According to the language in issue one, the proposed right to be authorized into the Constitution is every individual has the right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions, including but not limited to decisions on conception, fertility, treatment, continuing one's own pregnancy, miscarriage, care, and abortion. Clergymen across the state are saying this could be a dangerously impact every aspect of the nuclear family and not just involve the abortion issue. Now, here, as leading clergymen from 171 congregations, we believe the language of issue one is deceptively vague, detrimental to the basic, inalienable, and God-given rights of parents and children, says Pastor David Renzel, one of the clergy spokesmen during a press conference at the Richland Pregnancy Services on Wednesday. Now, here's the thing, Wednesday. I listened to, as they read the names of these pastors off. Now, I didn't listen to all of them, but I listened to about 80, around 80 names that they had. Now, out of the 80, out of the 171, I didn't know any of these pastors. But I can tell you this, I know a lot of pastors. And every single one of them that I know, here, and I'm not counting apostates. I'm not counting those from the United Church of the Antichrist. They're not Christians at all. They're ministers of Satan. A lot of the World and National Council churches are ministers of Satan. They simply embrace everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls a sin. They embrace it. But here, I know a lot of pastors, and every single one of them are going to vote. They're encouraging their people. They're speaking out. They're finally awake. And you know what, Wendy? They're scared. They're afraid. And they should be. They should be. They've been asleep at the helm all of this time. This is why we have a legalized child killing in America. This is why God was put out of the public school system, because the pastors failed to do what they were supposed to do. They failed. They were supposed to be bold, righteously bold, and run to the battle, but they didn't. They were afraid. They didn't have the courage when it was required of them. And so because of that, no place was our God more dishonored than from the pulpits of so-called churches. But now, Wendy, listen. These pastors, many of these pastors have children of their own. And now, Wendy, it's hitting at home. It's hitting at home because, you see, they realized that if they try to keep their own daughters from going and having their breast cuts all cut off, or their sons from being castrated, or their daughters from killing their grandchildren, they can be charged with a crime for doing what parents are supposed to do, protect their children. So now it's sitting them at home, and now there are many of them, they're scared. And so now, guess what? You go by churches, Wendy, you would never see. The only churches you saw this stuff before out here was Doers of the Word. You would see the signs and the posters right out in our churchyard, because we never, ever, ever stood down. We always went right at it. No matter if it was COVID or whatever it was, we went right at it. In fact, we still have a great big billboard out there in the churchyard saying that God is on the throne, he's in complete control, he's an awesome God, and that Donald Trump is still the legitimate president of the United States. It's right out there because that's the truth. And so now I'm going by these churches, Wendy, and you're saying vote no on issue one signs in the churchyards. So that, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to get revival one more time in this country?
Yes, it would.
Yeah. Why do you think Joe Obama Biden's trying to get us into World War III, Wendy?
Well, I think it would interrupt a lot of things in this country, including an election.
Here you go. You just hit on something. This is from Congressman Comer. More suspicious checks from Jim Biden that Joe Biden was the beneficiary of will be released soon. Now, I had read a statement that he had gotten out of the Ukraine around $98 million.
Wow.
Okay. Where is the money? Well, today we learned Biden received another $200,000 from his brother, a business. That's the one that was just found. We reported this about 2 weeks ago, but his brother Jim Biden, it's all over the internet, nude pictures of him. He's up there with nude pictures. A business partner of Hunter directly into the personal bank account. I've got a picture of the check. The check's right here, and it's written out from $200,000 right directly to...
Yeah, I think in the memo section, didn't it say repaying a loan?
Yeah, loan repayment, yeah.
Yeah.
And congressional Republicans found the money and produced the receipts. The president only makes about, what, $300,000 a year?
Oh, is it up to that much? I just thought it was like $200,000, but go ahead.
Anyhow... So on Friday, Comer uncovered another $200,000 direct payment to the Bidens. And so in 2018, Jim Biden received $600,000 in loans from the American Health LLC, failing bankrupt rural hospital operator. According to the bankruptcy documents, Jim Biden received the loans based on upon representatives that has last names Biden could open doors and that he could obtain a large investment from the Middle East based on his political connections. I remember hearing Biden, he didn't know that people were filming, and Biden's telling this guy from, I think he was from the Ukraine, but he's saying, look, they just found out you don't mess with the Bidens. You just don't mess with the Bidens. So on March 1st, 2018, Health LLC wired another $200,000 payment to Jim and Sarah Biden, personal bank account. On the very same day, Jim Biden then wrote a $200,000 check to brother Joe Biden, the big guy. So Jim Biden wrote the check to Joe Biden as a so-called loan repayment. Does Joe Biden have documents proving his lent his brother such a large sum of money? What and where were the terms? Jim Biden defrauded AmeriCorps with false claims that he could save the company with a Biden name, and Joe Biden benefited from the fraud. Comer said that, told Sean Hannity that more suspicious checks from Jim Biden to Joe Biden will be released this week. And so there you go. They've got some more. So anyhow, with all of the war going on, it's taken all the focus off of the Biden crime cartel, huh?
Yeah, a little bit shift, yeah.
And so what is happening in Wendy's world out there today?
Well, I thought I'd mention scientists. You know, in our modern age of technology, you know, we have appliances that are smart appliances. You know that, right, Pastor? Right?
My wife's got a washing machine in the other room at my home, and it's right, well, it's probably, I've got a large downstairs, maybe 40 feet away from where I'm sitting at my desk working on my messages and that. And this thing, it plays a tune. Instead of, you know, it plays different tunes to let you know where it's at, what cycle the thing is in. And it is really strange. But, yeah, I hear you.
The smart appliances, you know, are kind of a normal expectation now. The consumer market's used to the smartphones, the smart meters, the smart doorbells and refrigerators. So smart technology is kind of everywhere. But you know what, Pastor? Scientists at the Nanyang Technological University in Singapore, they've developed what they call smart contact lenses. Yeah. And people, when I tell them this, they go, well, what does it do? What do you suppose a smart contact lens will do?
Boy, that is a good question there, Wendy.
It is a good question. Well, you know, what they've done is the smart contact lenses, according to the report, it has a very thin and flexible battery that can store electricity when it comes in contact with saline solution, also known as your tears. So the battery is then powered up, and the contact lenses are then able to provide certain functions. So these lenses are going to be marketed as a high-tech contact lens that will be able to display information on the person's cornea or surface of the eye in real time. Some of the other features are, you know, obviously correcting your vision, also monitoring the wearer's health. Also, it's going to offer disease alerts, whether you may have glaucoma, diabetes, or corneal diseases. Here's a quote from the research professor Li Wu at the Nanyang Technological University School of Electrical and Electronic Engineering. He said, this research began with a simple question. Could contact lens batteries be recharged with your tears? End of quote. But you know what, Pastor? These contact lenses may be intended for other uses. Smart contact lenses are being developed to expand its capabilities in the near future. So after this initial debut of the contact lenses when they hit the market, there's going to be a list of improvements that will eventually come about with the next generation of these contact lenses. They will record and transmit information, and what the wearer sees and hears will be transmitted to a cloud database for storage. Now I'm reading this stuff, Pastor, and I'm thinking, so it's going to transmit information. It's going to send what you're seeing and hearing somewhere for somebody to have access to that information. I'm thinking you may want to remember to take your contact lenses off before you go into your bedroom. What do you think?
Yeah, but I tell you what, I don't think I would wear those contact lenses because of that kind of technology.
Right.
They could turn the lights off on you, couldn't they? I mean, they could make things go dark.
Well, according to the National Library of Medicine Center for Biotechnology, they said this back in March 2021. They said wearable smart contact lenses have attracted extensive interest because of their ability to monitor physiological information and ambient information directly from the eyeball of the wearer. Now, this could really be a privacy problem, and it's really not clear if the lens wearer would have the ability to opt out of transmitting any of the data if they were still wearing the lenses. And the new and improved lenses are, well, they'll need an improved battery, Pastor, because they're offering more function. And this is in development now, and it will entail a rechargeable battery that is safe, they say, and comfortable for the human eye. And this is how they describe it. Here's for all the scientific minds out there listening. The Nanyang Technological University developed a battery, and it's made of biocompatible materials and does not contain wires or toxic heavy metals such as those in lithium-ion batteries or in wireless charging systems. It has a glucose-based coating that reacts with the sodium and chloride ions in the saline solution surrounding it, and while the water and the battery contain, it serves as a wire conduit or circuitry for the electricity to be regenerated. So the battery could also be used and powered by human tears as they contain a lot of sodium and potassium ions. They go on to say, our tear-based battery eliminates the concern of metal electrodes in the lens, which are harmful if they are exposed to the naked human eye, and the introduction of charging options, which requires no coil to be in the lens to transmit power, much like wireless charging pads and are offered on smartphones. So the tear-based battery also frees up space for further innovation in the development of the smart contact lenses. And lastly, they say the smart contact lens industry has been looking for a thin, biocompatible battery that does not contain heavy metals and has the innovation like this could further their development to meet some unmet needs in the industry. Well, I'm reading this thing, and my mind goes back to, you know, Star Trek series and the Borg. Remember the Borg?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So the researchers are testing their contact lens battery on a simulated human eye. The battery is 0.5 millimeters thin, which would be close to half the size of the tip of a sewing needle. This battery is embedded in the lens and would generate electrical power when reacting to ocular surface basal tears. And then the battery will discharge electricity via a process called reduction. And when the glucose oxidase coating reacts to the sodium and chloride ions in the tears, it generates power and a current within the lens, the contact lens. So the maximum power is 201 microwatts. The life of the battery is about 6 months, and it can be recharged 200 times. The battery is placed on the outside of the lens so it doesn't obstruct vision, and when the person sleeps, they can recharge their contact lenses by soaking them in a high-quality glucose, sodium, potassium ion solution. So if we want to measure this power that these lenses put out, if you want to compare the microwatt of the smart lens battery, it's a maximum, it's equal to 0.000201 watts. An example of a regular light bulb is 2 to 100 watts, depending on the type of the bulb. So it's way lower than your standard light bulb, but it's a enough power to do some of the functions it wants it to do. But I do have some concerns, Pastor. Do you want to hear them?
Yeah, I sure do.
So we see this research is saying the battery is safe for the human eye, but it really hasn't been fully tested on humans. And after all, the eyes are neurological tissue, and we're essentially putting a battery on part of the brain. So this new development kind of sounds like a, they say, a safer alternative to other devices, but will it be safe and effective in all situations that the wearer may experience? For instance, is it safe for people with dry eye? Obviously, you need the basal tears. If you don't have enough of them, I don't think you're going to be anywhere.
Are you there? Did we lose Wendy?
I'm going to put her on hold.
Okay. Alrighty. It looks like just when we were getting to the crux of this thing. I don't think I'm going to get these contact lenses, folks. But I'm just wondering how long it's going to be. I remember, you know, Superman had these laser eyes, these laser beams that would shoot out. But I don't think in my time we'll get to that. What do you think, Derek?
I mean, it could happen as soon as a couple of years.
Yeah. Anyhow, all right, there you go. We don't know where Wendy's at. We lost Wendy. I think she was telling people something that people didn't, somebody didn't want to hear. But while she's...
Hey, Pastor, I'm back. I don't know what happened. I went somewhere.
Yeah, you were saying things that powerful out there, the sinister, didn't want you to say, probably. But anyhow...
Well, what I was saying, my last comments were, if the device transmits information, will the non-ionizing action of the battery create enough vibration to cause the atoms of your eyes to vibrate and heat up and cause damage? And my last question is it hackable?
Well, I would imagine it is. I mean, isn't everything hackable out there nowadays?
Well, you would think so. Well, you know, it appears that the smart contact lenses, you know, has been in the works for several years. The National Library of Medicine said the smart contact lenses have had problems with biocompatibility. In their March 2021 issue, they said the smart contact lenses were tested for biotoxins in a culture dish, and they said that they passed. They had... in a VO test in a petri dish, they had good biocompatibility, so they don't think they're toxic. And the scientists, they do anticipate the battery to last about 12 hours a day that you're wearing these lenses, and then you have to recharge them.
Two questions. When are they going to be when we can see in the dark? Are they going to provide their own light that we can see in the dark? And the other thing too is, I've noticed on some of these people, especially these women that are on these anchors in some of these television programs, they have eyes that are like extremely bright, and I know, and I'm looking at these things that they cannot be their regular eyes; that they may be these contact lenses.
Possible. Now, they have filed a patent, and they're actually in negotiations with your companies that manufacture contact lenses to incorporate this into their product. And those applications that, you know, they were talking about for smart contact lenses, not just for private contact wearers. How about law enforcement to record actions of officers and suspects? Your military to record actions of military personnel? Prisons to record prisoner and correction officer actions, aviation to record pilot errors, and also entertainment industry, and that includes your adult.
Wendy, hang tight. We're up against a hard break. We'll be back right after this with more. Don't go away. A lot to come.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.